Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome to this episode of the Scottish Paddlecast, brought to you by the Scottish Canoe Association. You're currently tuning in to the latest episode of People in Paddlesport series, where we're catching up with the diverse characters across the Scottish paddlesport community. I'm your host, Roger Holmes.
And I'm your co-host, Lara Cooper. Joining us today are Julie and Nikki. Together, they set up and run Cairngorm Pride Paddlers, a group that was started on the back of a successful funding application from Cairngorm National Park.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Just as a little opener to the podcast, we ask this on every podcast. If you could paddle anywhere in the world, where would it be? Who would it be with? And in what craft?
Ooh, goodness. God, I don't even think I can give one answer. There are so many different places that I would love to paddle. But if you were really going to restrict me to one, which is harsh, I would probably say... I haven't got a specific river, but some of the big white water in Canada and BC. The Scottish white water on the SUP is so technical and rocky. I think it would just be a dream to actually go to somewhere where your biggest worry is like how big the waves and things are. Like, and I'd probably choose just some of the local Scottish white water paddlers like Emma McLeod and Jess Phillips that we paddle with quite often. It'd be really cool to go on a big global trip with them.
I'd really like to take our crew out the Slovenia and paddle the Sotra just on set because it looks so beautiful and I think it'd be really fun.
Brilliant. That's great. So Cairngorm Pride Paddlers, do you want to kick off by telling us a bit about the group, what it's all about, how it started?
So the Cairngorm's Pride Paddlers started off, well, what do? We're a kind of monthly social group specifically for LGBTQ people. Originally, it started off kind of within the Cairngorms National Park area, but we've actually had people come from all over Scotland to join in on this. And it was started up basically because we wanted to meet more queer paddlers and go paddling with them. So kind of form our own friend group of paddlers and as a way to kind of introduce something that we love to people that we've got something in common with and a kind of group of people that we generally feel comfortable with.
Where did the inspiration come from for setting the group up?
So the SCA Equality Group, they like did the Paddling with Pride event down at Grantley. So we went to that as participants and it was awesome. So we had a shot of like running our own through Murray Sup Club. And I think we went to a second Paddling with Pride through the SCA year after. And after that, we were like, ooh, this is so good. Let's have more of them. And so we're like, oh, we can do our own branch off group and do them monthly rather than annually. And
yeah, once a year was not enough.
Yeah, we want more.
We just had so much fun taking part in those events and then actually running our own kind of one-off event that was in partnership with Leap Scotland. And that was specifically, it was an intro to paddle boarding event that we ran. And it was all new people to us that we met and took out and gave them an introduction to paddling on a really horrific, windy, choppy day on the coast. And they were buzzing and they loved it. And they were just, it was just such a lovely atmosphere that after that, we were like, oh, how can we do more of this? Like, maybe we should try and do something more regularly. But it was just kind of finding the right opportunities to enable that to happen.
And was it quite fortuitous when you saw the funding through Cairngorm National Parks that sort of helped get you started?
It was a bit, I suppose. The idea had been kind of mulling over in our heads for ages. But yeah, when we saw that there was funding available that kind of we kind of ticked the boxes for what the funds were available for. So the funding was through Cairngorm's Youth Local Action Group, and it was aimed at young people between 18 and 30. And there were various different categories that they were looking to fund. And one of them was underrepresented groups, minority groups in the LGBTQ community was one of them. So when we saw that we could get funding, we kind of both were just like, well, what have we got to lose? Like, we haven't got enough kit to take people out on our own. But with this, we've got the qualifications, got the experience. Let's see if we can get some kit. And then it makes it so much easier. Like, then you just need to rock up and join in and we can kind of provide the rest of you like. So yeah, it certainly, the group wouldn't have happened if we hadn't been able to access that funding.
How much kit did that sort of enable you to buy?
So we've had like two rounds of funding. So the first time around, we got four paddle boards, with all the like paddles and leashes, bunch of wetsuits and some wetsuit socks.
And buoyancy aids.
And then in the second round, we got two more boards. We got some like booties for people because that was something we found we were lacking. And then got like a greater variety of sizes and wetsuits and buoyancy aids for people.
It was kind of like the second round we were, we'd kind of learned from the first what the things were missing. And because we started a group up in November, we realised it's quite cold. We also kind of managed to gather various bits of kit that people have been giving away or donating. So things like cags and stuff, we've managed to get a few of them because they make a big difference on the water and stuff as well. And so we're slowly building up a wee garage full of kit for the group. But yeah, it's all used regularly. So
that's really enabled anyone with absolutely no experience just to come along and take part.
Yeah. And like a few people that come regularly, they bought like their own wetsuits and stuff now. And so that frees up like kit for people that haven't got anything, who might be new, who are coming along.
It was also really important that try and limit the environmental impact that we were having as a group as well. So we thought, well, if we've got kit and people know how to use it safely, then it saves them buying kit that they might not use again. And also they can borrow it whenever they want. So it's almost like a kit co-op, if you like. Which I think there should be more of. Like, it saves all this wasteful buying of stuff that gets used once and then sits in a corner. Like, it's such a big issue at the minute, especially after lockdown and the mass buying or kit and things. I think the more sharing of stuff you can do, the better. So that was also kind of important to us.
That's brilliant. As a group, is there a regular group that comes along to the group?
Yeah, so we've got like, once people have been along, they get added to like our WhatsApp chat. So there's maybe like, what do you say, like between 20 and 25 people in there. And we get about 10 people each month. And of that, there's maybe like between 6 and 8 of us that are like the core group that are the same every month. And then the extra 2 or 3 people sort of vary month to month.
And usually there's at least like one brand new person to the group comes along, which I think is great. Often they come along and they know nobody else. They've just seen it on Instagram or Facebook and thought, oh, that looks friendly. Let's go and, or can, oh, fancy that. Let's go and give it a try. And as I said, there are people come up from Edinburgh. We've had people from Glasgow. So they obviously kind of manage to fit every month that we do it. So they just kind of come up when they can. But the fact that they're driving 3 hours for like 2 hours in the water or something, I think that's amazing. Like,
there's clearly a massive demand, isn't there, for those kind of groups to come together. What sort of things have you been up to on the water?
We started off just on kind of simple sheltered water at Loch Morlach, and we were really lucky. Apart from it being really cold, it was always calm. We usually got a bit of sunshine. Occasional rainbow popped up, which everybody was pretty stoked about. Most people have kind of built up a skill set with. We've paddled in Loch Inch. We've done a bit of canoeing on Loch Inch, so not just paddleboarding. And I try and stress that it's a paddling group. It's not just paddleboarding. We've done some...
down the Spey.
Yeah, we've gone down the Spey from Loch Inch to Aviemore. What, you've done some work with them.
So some of the guys have come out canoeing with me on the river as well. Not officially as part of Paddling with Pride. That's been an ad hoc expedition.
Aye, so just kind of paddlers are getting more experience. We're trying to kind of widen the range of venues that we can use and stuff. But to be honest, I think if we paddled in Loch Morlach every month, they'd still come along and have a great time because we always go for coffee and cake afterwards, generally at the Pine Martin or somewhere. So it's all about the chatting, really. So much chat.
Do you get to anything else outside of the paddling as a group?
Yeah, so in the group chat that was meant to be just for paddling, we ended up like we took part in like a bowling competition. And then after that, I think we did quite poorly. But we were just like, oh, we should all hang out more. So what else do we get up to? We've done all like canyoning and rafting and tubing with River Wild. We all went to watch the Barbie movie.
Yeah, we all went along to Highland Pride as a group in March, and we made a big massive banner and spoke to loads of people about paddling. Well, sometimes even just meet up in a pub and have a drink or play games and things like that. So it's definitely become more of a social group, like a bunch of pals, as opposed to a paddling group. But I think the paddling group is still important because, as I said, we occasionally get new people coming in, and they've been coming along to some of the social things as well. So it just builds and builds. It's pretty cool.
So often it's that social connection that actually unites and bonds a group, like a club or a group like that, isn't it? And that's the thing that actually keeps them coming back. And the paddling, if you ask them what was most important, they'd probably find it really hard to separate the two things out.
Yeah, well, we've got one person that comes along. I think they've changed their mind now. But at the beginning, he was like, oh, yeah, I don't even like paddleboarding. Just, yes, to make friends. But I think we've convinced him it's good now.
I think he's pretty hooked. But I definitely, the kind of social aspect, a few of the members have said, like, it's not just the paddling. It's had a huge impact on their mental health and just how they feel in life about living in the national park and kind of having a sense of an LGBT community within a rural area, which these are side effects that we never foresaw at all. We thought we'd just have some people to go paddling with. But I think the group's become really quite important to some people, and that's amazing to have that kind of impact on folk. So the more folk can get along, the better, I think.
We've got a really powerful and emotional quote from our friend Jen. Do you know the one I mean? She said, oh, I've lived in the Strath for 5 years and it didn't feel like home until this group started. And I was just like, oh, Brian.
That's just amazing, isn't it? That, yeah, the power of bringing folks together like that is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It's obviously been good for you guys too, hasn't it?
Yeah, oh, it's been so awesome because we didn't have friends before. So we're like, oh, we'll just make this group and then we can get some friends. And it worked. We've got loads of them now.
Anybody that kens Nikki, walking, that is a big lie.
We have no friends.
But yes, we didn't have many queer friends, I suppose, is the thing. And queer people will understand the connection that they have with other people generally that are queer, the need for safe LGBTQ places is a lot higher than folk realise. And it's really hard, I think, to understand if you aren't in that group, if it marks it so special. But I think we've all got this kind of sense of having been misjudged or misunderstood or kind of judged, I suppose, at a time. And having a safe space that you can go into it without the fear of somebody kind of looking funny when you say you've got a girlfriend or that you're trans, accessing these spaces just gives you that sense that it's fine, it's safe. Personally, I find it really easy to be in those spaces as opposed to getting into predominantly heterosexual kind of environments.
Just being able to hang out without having to explain anything. You can just turn up and be. There's no think wondering what people are thinking. You're just like, oh yeah, we exist, grand, nobody's questioning anything.
Yeah. So yeah, to have kind of fought, and that's one of the reasons we kind of formed the group, is to kind of have that space for ourselves as well, but and it's kind of allowed other people to have it existing. But oh, there's loads of benefits to the group. It's just such good crack. They're just such a good bunch. And from a coaching point of view, it's so lovely to coach in that safe space, because as a coach, you never know who you often don't know who you're going to be coaching or leading. And that sense of judgment can if you're coaching somebody that finds out you've got a girlfriend or a partner, are they suddenly going to think a lot less of you and maybe receptive to your coaching because they didn't agree with that way of life and things? And it does still exist in places. People will say it kind of Disney, but it does. So yeah, to be able to coach in that environment just makes it so easy to coach and so enjoyable, because you just feel like you're kind of working with a group of mates and things, and you didn't really realise that you're coaching half the time. So I think it's definitely given me more confidence in my own kind of coaching abilities to see the progress that some of our paddlers have had.
Yeah, and also selfishly of me, I was like, ooh, these guys can already suck. So I was like, oh, when I went for my whitewater canoe assessment, I was like, oh, come with me, go in a canoe. And it's like paddleboarding, but sat down. So it was really good to practice coaching in a different discipline. The ones I was practicing on, they came on my assessment with me. So that was really cool to have sort of ready-made guinea pigs at my disposal. But for those guys, it wasn't just one way. They got to progress their skills in the canoe as well. So beneficial.
It must be amazing to be in that real relaxed atmosphere. And where do you think the club might go next?
Lock inch, do you reckon?
As I kind of touched on earlier, we'd like to expand the environments that people kind of get to paddle in. So kind of offer the get like be able to offer taking them a bit more on whitewater, potentially do some coastal trips. But some of the group members have also expressed a real interest in doing a bit of like an overnighter, do some expeds, and things, bigger trips like a spay descent and things. So it'd be good if we can kind of continue to grow the experiences for the club members. But kind of as an idea as a whole, I'd really like to see if we could develop mayor groups like Cairngorms Proud Paddlers across Scotland. The Highlands are pretty small. There's no that, well, they're pretty big, but like
geographically, population wise, small.
Yeah, there's not that much of us up here, and yet we've got 25 people in a WhatsApp group that regularly, like, that want to come along and paddle. Regularly got 12 people in the water, which is a great number for socialising and welcoming new people in that. So I think there's probably a big want for it. I think there'd be demand for it down in the Central Belt, Edinburgh, Glasgow, like, because travelling 3 hours to paddle for two isn't everybody's cup of tea. So I'd like to be able to see if we can start up a few more groups, or maybe just help some people to get some groups started across Scotland, because like we've seen the benefits up here, and the people that come paddling with us, like, they just love it. And if we could open that up across Scotland, it could reach so many people and really make a difference in the LGBTQ like community. And it gives people like another safe space, a healthy kind of outdoor activity that can take part in. An opportunity to see their local areas for different views, and the idea of kind of operating as a co-op where they didn't have to go and buy their own kit and stuff. It means that kind of cost isn't a barrier to people either. And so that's what I would like the group, like kind of sub-branches, that's what I'm going to do.
Fantastic. If anyone's listening who's kind of inspired by your chat and thinks that they might be able to do something similar in their area, what advice would you give them?
So Julie has more like practical advice. My advice was, like, at the start I was like really nervous and almost like a little bit embarrassed, and I was like, oh my god, who even cares, who's gonna come along? I didn't invite some of our friends because I was like, oh no, they're too cool to want to come to this. But then we just did it and had an amazing time. And then our friends heard about it a month later and they were like, oh my god, this is great, why didn't you tell us? So like for me, like, just the being brave enough to do it, because the worst that happens is you go and you'll paddle. The best that happens is you start a revolution and everyone's on the water.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was a case of, we really want to see if we can make this happen. A taster session was super successful. So can I just try to keep it simple and not overcomplicating it? It doesn't have to take on the entire club structure that some of the kind of more popular paddling clubs do. For me personally, it was like, right, what do we need? Right, let's get a risk assessment in place just to make sure that we're covered on the environments that we're working in. We can keep people safe. Let's mark a simple Google form that has all the kind of emergency details, the medical information, like contact information that we need. Can I just be up to date with your responsibilities as a coach and a leader? Can I know your, and have, be prepared with your kit, like, so have your personal coaching kit that you would use. So it's no different to any other time you're coaching or leading in the water. You're just taking a group out. So can I have your first aid kit, your spare layers, and kind of spare hot drinks and stuff, and just give people the information they need beforehand that they come prepared. Initially, it might seem like, oh my gosh, there's so much to do. But if you've got a qualification in paddling, then you've already covered it. You know the stuff. Like, go and look in the SCA website or go and ask somebody. Give me a shout. I'm always up for a bit of a chat if people are keen to get things started. And just kind of find out how you can kind of get started, what you need to do to make sure that you're keeping people safe in the water, but also that they're having a fun time. And it's things I barely think about now because they just become second nature. The first time you've got in your group on water, you're just can your brain's going, but you chill out eventually, and you know, it's all right, and it doesn't have to be complicated. You can keep it simple and make it successful and safe.
No, that's brilliant. It's great to hear. And then I guess you just also sort of out there and advertise it and let people know over various means. Any learning curves on that front? It's not my strong point.
So we started posting on Facebook, and then the first people that came along, one of them, Brenna, was like, all right, you need to get on Instagram. So I made that, and then she was like, right, just lend me the password and I'll make it better, and like changed everything. He became like our chief of social media, I guess. And so we like post in the WhatsApp group to the people who like come regularly, and then just try and like advertise on social media for new people or people that are like followers but haven't come yet.
It's trying to think of all the different avenues where people might find out about us. So we posted a kind of one-off paddle out for Pride, specifically for Pride Month. And that was aimed at the community, increasing the kind of, making it a family event, a community event within the national park to celebrate Pride, but do it paddling, because that's what we do. We paddle with Pride. We're the Cairngorms Pride Paddlers. So we kind of did a bit more local advertising. We got some posters out. The National Park have been really good at helping us do a bit of advertising and giving us posters and things to put out there. And it's looking at all the trying to think of all the different places that people might, that you might be right. But we're starting to get known by word of mouth, which is amazing. Nikki's had a couple of incidences, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, my favourite one was somebody told me about this paddling event that was coming up. And I was like, oh, you've heard of us. Wow. So that was really exciting for someone to tell me about it. I was like, whoa.
You know you've made it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we're famous.
And they were a biker as well, weren't they?
Yeah, they weren't even a paddler. They were just like, oh, sounds fun. Let's go.
You mentioned the Paddling with Pride weekend event that's organised by the SCA LGBTQ plus Equality Group. Julie, you're very much part of that group, aren't you?
I am indeed.
Yeah, we've just had the third event last weekend at Glenmore Lodge. You guys both were there, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yep, got the midgie baits to prove it.
And that's obviously, this is the third year it's been running now. It's gradually growing every year. We get more and more participants coming each year, which is wonderful. A little bit different though, isn't it, to the more regular social paddles you do? Do you want to just bring that to life a little bit for people who might be interested?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's kind of, so without the kind of weekend event, none of this would have ever happened. It's kind of what inspired me and Nikki to paddle with other LGBTQ paddlers and then start developing events and groups from that, because we had so much fun on that first weekend. And I think the initial event we went on, we didn't know anybody else who was going. I hadn't had much to do with the SCA at that point. And we were just like, oh, this is an event for gay people. Let's go. Off we hopped, da-da-da-da-da, down to Grantley, met an amazing bunch of people. And we felt that atmosphere, that initial atmosphere. And instead of just being a couple hours in the water, it's an entire weekend. So you get a chance to sit and socialise with people and learn a bit more about them and have a bit of fun and kind of drink a beer or two with them and just sit and chill out. So having that opportunity to actually get to speak to people on a deeper level than just a couple hours in the water kind of really helps to build those connections and kind of build the hype around the activity. And I think because our kind of paddling group, we kind of aimed it at any kind of range of paddlers, but specifically folk that had never really paddled before, to kind of get them onto the water. Whereas the kind of the weekend event is kind of aimed at paddlers who had a bit of experience already, I suppose.
I guess, like, to start with, because it's nice to see like the weekend, like the annual weekend event, grow as well. So at the beginning it was like, oh, this is for people who are paddlers and are LGBT. Whereas now it's more like, oh, we can provide, like, because we have to be self-sufficient that first time. And now it's like, oh, we found kit for people. So this is now for LGBT people who fancy being paddlers. So it's kind of like grown and sort of changed almost who it's for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, same audience, but now like more broad. Yeah, I really like that it, like, people had the opportunity to do that. And even like people from our crew who were like, yeah, sups every week. They got a chance to like try out the different crafts because they could borrow things. So we had people in like sea kayaks or whitewater kayaks and canoes. So I think that was really good for them as well to have a shot at that.
A lot of people go along to the weekend. They go every year. So we've, like, me and Nikki have built up these friendships over the last couple of years with people. And people with such a broad range of experience. And to see that being shared on the water, we completely new paddlers, some of the folk for your group have done a little bit. just to see the interactions like between people, it's so fantastic, and it's such a good event for people. And we've managed to increase our own group size off of the back of this year's one, because I think one or two have said, oh yeah, we'll definitely come along at the Cairngorm Pride Paddlers. So winners all around.
They have been really, really fun events, and I have to say, enjoyed the event as itself, but also learnt lots of stuff, which helps understanding, and for myself personally, and I'm sure Lara the same, when we've gone to it. So they have been absolutely brilliant events, and it's really fantastic to hear about the Cairngorm Club. It's been a brilliant podcast. Really thank you for your contributions, the pair of you, Nikki and Julie. Really interesting, really inspiring to hear what you've managed to do by setting up the group, getting some funding, making the group happen and make new friends. It's absolutely brilliant, really inspiring. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Also, thank you for listening to our ramblings.
That's been an absolute pleasure and a privilege as well to hear your stories and the passion that you're putting into this. It really is brilliant. For our listeners, if you're interested in similar opportunities, you might be interested in joining the Paddling with Pride Facebook group. This is set up by the SCA LGBTQ+ Equality Group. It's a great place to connect with other paddlers and find out what's happening across Scotland within the community. Thank you to everyone at home for listening. In this People of Paddle Sport podcast series, we share stories from the diverse paddle sport community. If you'd like to share your story and know someone else who might, we'd love to hear from you. Just email Roger or I at hello@canoescotland.org. Be sure to like and subscribe to us whenever you listen to your podcasts. You can find us on Podbean, Spotify and Apple. We hope you enjoyed listening today, and we hope that everyone is enjoying being active on the water. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.